Hey, this is Rose 420, and welcome back, guys. Thank you for returning after what was a far from perfect first podcast. This is my first venture, so thanks for bearing with me. Just trying to realize a dream here, and you only live once. This episode will also have far less swearing because my mom was definitely not happy about it when I told her about it. So, hi, Mom. Have fun in Florida. Okay, so since this is a part two, let's recap. Sage Smith, a transgender woman, went missing on November 20th, 2012. Her last known whereabouts were with a man she met online named Eric McFadden. He's on the run and communicating to police through his girlfriend, Esther. He's communicating through emails because he is seriously the lamest dude ever. If you listened to the first episode, you know my feelings on him. He's lame. All right, so go grab your bud. Go grab your wine and let's dive back into the case of Sage Smith. Hey, cool cats and kittens. Okay, no, I promise never to do that again, but I did watch Tiger King, so I felt the need to do it at least once. Anyways, I want to get into today's strain before we get into the case. It is wedding pie. It's super dank, super stinky, and a hybrid. So you're awake, but you don't have an anxious feeling. I give it a 7 out of 10 leaves. And as always, I'm enjoying a Pinot Grigio. I encourage all listeners to do the same so the show sounds better than it is. So grab your materials, your bud, your bong, your wine, and let's get into this case. So when we left off, Eric McFadden had admitted to seeing Sage after his original lame denials that no one believed, ever, just ever. I never believed them. But he claims to have left her to get beaten up by a group of her enemies that they just happen to stumble upon. Like, this is West Side Story, and there's just people snapping and walking down the road waiting to beat people up. So weird. I know. It's the most unbelievable story in the world. This dude is such a piece of work. And sorry, Mom, but a piece of crap. So after this, he clearly topped the PD suspect list. But the PD had stated it was not a criminal investigation, so, like, why even have a suspect list? So that right there, red flag, it should be a criminal investigation, but it's not. Okay, so now that we're all caught up, let's continue on. So after this email, police finally get a fire lit under their asses and start scouring Sage's social media accounts. All of them had not been used since the day she disappeared. And as a girl who always has her phone and loves posting to social media, unless I'm on a Facebook ban, which happens, if I don't post, something terrible has happened because I enjoy social media a lot. I love Facebook. I love Instagram. I love Snapchat. I just enjoy social media. However, her social media did lead the police to one of her past relationships to a man who was on the down low. If you don't know what the down low is, I'll explain it briefly. So it's when straight men sleep with other men but don't tell their partners or anyone in their life and don't consider themselves bisexual or gay. I just want to say, just because you don't tell people it's happening doesn't mean it isn't. So these guys have always been interesting to me since I first saw them on Oprah. Shout out to Oprah for teaching me some crazy shit throughout my childhood. She brought up tossing salads once. Mind blowing. Anyways, this man's girlfriend found out. Durr. It was bound to happen. If you're frequently sleeping with anybody, no matter the gender preference, we always know. So men, just stop. Just stop. We always know. Even though this guy looks guilty from all of this, it is later confirmed he is not involved in Sage's disappearance. But this guy needs some serious help. He attacked a woman, and yes, Sage is a woman, because his girlfriend found out he was sleeping around. Like, go seek therapy, bro. If you don't want to get caught, don't do it. It's as simple as that. In December 2012, so a month after Sage went missing, three major searches finally took place. It only took a month for this to happen when all police departments know the first 24 hours are so important. This is the largest eye roll ever right here. Like, why did it take a month? In one of the searches, a cadaver dog signaled he picked up on Sage's scent, but it led nowhere. Okay, I want to take an aside just to talk about how amazing dogs with jobs are. They are the best thing to ever happen to this world, and I just want to snuggle those babies. And even though you're not supposed to, it makes me want to snuggle them more. They're the goodest little angel babies in the world. I have three dogs that I am obsessed with. I have Penny Lane, Carter, and Jackson, and they are the best, and I love them, and they do so much for me, and I could talk about them this whole podcast, so we better move on. Back to December. In the search for Sage, it's also discovered Aubrey. Remember Sage's roommate? Yeah, her. The one that reported her missing and was woken up by her to say she was going out and all of that, starts using her personal stuff, including her food stamp card, which, damn girl, what if she comes back and she's hungry? Like, what the fuck? Stop using her stuff. How do you know she's not coming back? But the police also could not confirm her alibi for the night Sage went missing. So on to the suspect list for the not criminal investigation. I put air quotes around that. For her. Can we talk about how McFadden was the last to talk to her and see her and went on the run right after she went missing? And that didn't put him on the suspect list. But Sage...
Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
But Sage uses her friend's card, and that's enough. Like, I get that's sketchy, but still. I'm just shaking my head right now. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that Siri just went off, but I have an Apple Watch. And when she gets too close to my face, she tries to listen to what I'm saying. And I'm holding my phone while I'm recording this. So sorry you heard Siri in the background, but I don't feel like going over and re-recording this all. So there you go. Despite the three searches and the faint scent, no other evidence pertaining to this case was found, unfortunately. After a couple of months with no new leads or evidence, in February 2013, an eyewitness came forward saying on the night Sage went missing, they saw her at a cafe. The witness's name is Monica Williams, and she was on Main Street around 7 p.m. and saw her in the cafe. Now, if you remember, I said Sage was last seen at an Amtrak station. The cafe was attached to the Amtrak station, so it's very plausible she was there. So now with the new timeline that the police have, they say that's plenty of time for Sage to see Eric McFadden, then see her step-sibling and Monica later on. So the new timeline makes it easier for Eric to fit in as a suspect, even though he always should have been one. Of course, with all the frustration that goes along with this case, there were no cameras at the cafe. And all the staff were unable to confirm if they saw Sage. Some said maybe there was a group of people there, but they couldn't recognize them from photos, whatever. Like, come on, just give us a break for this girl in this case. I'm getting so frustrated with this, if you can't tell. It's definitely not an easy case by any means, and it's so hard because of how terribly the transgender community is treated. After the cafe lead goes pretty much nowhere, just like Eric McFadden in life. Sorry, hate this guy. And since my mom made me cut back on swearing, I need to take what digs I can. On a side note, I'm 31 and still cut back on swearing because my mom said so. Do as Mr. T says and listen to your mamas, ladies and gentlemen. They are amazing and always right. So months go by and finally the investigators are like, hey, maybe we should work harder on this case. Like, shouldn't they have been giving 100% since the beginning of a case of a missing girl? I've said the 24 hours thing like 90 times. Like, where were they? They upload Sage's dental records to the National Registry in case her body is found. I don't know why this didn't happen months before. You know I'm frustrated with that. They also contacted the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which also probably should have been done earlier because that center does amazing work and they find a lot of children and reunite them. So I think that should have been done earlier as well. During all of this, McStupidface continues to email Esther, but he would delete the email address after one use, and police were unable to track him. It really upsets me that this idiot is outsmarting the whole police force. Like, WTF, like, why can't the police force catch this one dumb guy? It's driving me nuts. A few random sightings of Eric and Sage have been reported, but never confirmed. I mean, people still see Elvis, so I don't know how much stock I'm putting into these sightings. It's like how people claim Tupac is still alive on an island. Then another 18-year-old female goes missing in Charlottesville. Her name is Heather Graham, and this raised major concerns for Sage's family. They were worried there was a predator out there looking for young girls, so they started to worry even more. However, Hannah receives the most expensive search in Virginia's history. Why didn't Sage get that same respect? Because she's not a cis female. She is a transgender African-American woman and got placed on the back burner as if she did not matter. And then this girl goes missing and gets the most expensive possible search for her in Virginia's history. As I said in the last podcast, a cis female wouldn't get the same treatment Sage did, and this unfortunately proves it. On the second anniversary, the PD announced McFadden was no longer a suspect. Wait, what? Have they not been paying attention in my podcast? No, I'm just kidding. But have they not been paying attention in general? They said he did not have the means because he's a scrub, like TLC wrote that song about him, and he has no car and lived in a populated area, so he couldn't possibly do it. I'm sorry, Mom, but this sounds like complete bullshit to me. That man should be numero uno on the suspect list. This is ridiculous. In January 2016, there's a possible sighting of Sage in a different town in Virginia, 300 miles away from where she lived. Police look into it further, and it wasn't her, but it was her old roommate, Shakira, who we know we could trust because, as Shakira's famous song goes, those hips don't lie. While there, Shakira informed police that she felt Aubrey was lying and felt uncomfortable that she was using Sage's personal stuff. I do not care if I'm missing multiple years. You touch my personal stuff over my dead body, because if I come back, ooh, girl, you in a world of hurt. Her step-sibling, Kiara, I hope I'm saying that right, was also re-interviewed, which also started to point suspicion at Aubrey. After years, everybody just now is like, oh, Aubrey's super sketchy. I think you should look into her. Like, WTF. Her friends never thought that they should say something. My family and friends would be on that, like, white on rice, especially my mom, who I keep bringing up. Our girl Aubrey, who is now starting to make me let up on McFadden slightly, of course denies everything and says it's a misunderstanding. Aubrey girl, if I had a quarter for every person in prison who was there over a misunderstanding, I would have a whole room dedicated to swimming in my quarters. Holes in her story are starting to emerge, and she has seen McFadden more often than she let on originally, so that's really sketchy, and you know how I feel about McFadden. Bad vibes, bad vibes. Her story is starting to look like Swiss cheese, for real. Especially when McFadden gets involved because, yeah, wherever he is, trouble seems to follow. There's no concrete evidence linking Aubrey to this crime, though. In June 2019, guess who gets reported missing? None other than my favorite, Eric McFadden. His family believes he may be deceased. The police have a list of like 25 states he could be in. I'm not going to bother to read them all because they're seriously all over the U.S. It looks like they took a dart and threw it at a map and was like, well, maybe he could be here, perhaps. Sadly, as of May 2020, Sage's case is still open and being treated as a probable homicide. Funny how originally it wasn't a criminal case. Like, serious eye roll here. This all could have been dealt with earlier and we might know what happened to Sage, because the scent that went nowhere might have gone somewhere. You don't know. It was a month. That's a lot of time. The family remains very critical of the police's investigation, and so do I. But now the FBI is involved, and there is a $20,000 reward for any information. There are three largely supported theories in this case. Number one, which I am behind, of course, is that Eric McFadden was involved in Sage's disappearance. This is supported by his continuous lies and running after she was realized to be missing. He's considered a person of interest and not a suspect, which is so stupid. Y'all know how I feel about this. Innocent people don't lie and run. This boy is guilty as Ted Bundy. We need to find him. He gave me bad vibes from when I first started looking into this case, and still does. Two is our girl Aubrey, Sage's roommate, was somehow involved, and it's similar reasoning to McFadden's. She had so many holes in her story, it was like Swiss cheese, and started using Sage's stuff like she knew she wasn't returning. Like, who uses people's stuff unless they know they aren't returning? She maintains she had no involvement, and I'm really torn on that. While I strongly feel McFadden was involved, why was this girl lying? And she was more involved with McFadden than she let on. It's all very sketchy. I don't know if she was involved, but girl, why are you lying? The third involves the man who attacked Sage after his girlfriend found out they were sleeping with each other. He has no alibi for that night, and the night she went missing, and was said to have a lot of anger towards her due to the fight and his girlfriend finding out and all of that. But he's nowhere to be found either. Okay, so I'm going to add a fourth conspiracy. This is a conspiracy theory that Charlottesville is the Bermuda Triangle of the U.S. because everybody in this case has pretty much gone missing. Sage is missing. Eric's missing. The guy she got in a fight with because his girlfriend found out is missing. Where are all these people? And they're all connected, so it's weird. This is a strange case. I hope you enjoyed following it. I hope it gets solved soon and we find Sage and the family gets some closure. And I hope you listen to our next true crime case. Hey everyone, I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that I said Heather Graham, like the actress, and I meant Hannah Graham. Her name is Hannah Graham, and I'm so sorry about that. Thank you.